Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
See ya. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word, Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter number 1, the Bible said this in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Note what the Bible said, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah saying, Arise, but Jonah rose up to flee. But Jonah rose up to flee. And can I ask you a question this morning? Has there ever been that time in your life that God asked you to do something, but you didn't do it? Chapter number 2 says this. Now, very briefly, I'm going to read chapter number 2, verse number 1 just a sec. Very briefly, Jonah goes to down to Tarshish, and he finds a ship. He goes down into it. He goes down into the sides of it. There's a great big storm. The sailors throw him over the ship. He ends up in the sea. He goes down into the sea. He gets swallowed by a fish. He goes down into the belly of the fish. In other words, his journey is down, 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 down. Are you with me? Because of his disobedience to God. Now, look in verse number 1 of chapter number 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Can I just say this morning? Has there ever been that time when you disobeyed God? God said, do this. You done something different. You realized you made a mistake and was in a great big mess. And you said, oh, God. And as Jonah just said, he heard me out of my affliction. Chapter number 3, verse number 1. I need to preach 2 hours on chapter 1 and chapter 2, but I can't, okay? That's what's just happened. Jonah messed up. He got himself in a mess. He prayed, asked God to forgive him for it. God forgave him for it. Boy, aren't you thankful for grace this morning? Look what he said in chapter number 3, verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Aren't you glad that when you messed up and you made a mistake and you failed God and you got in a great big mess, and you cried out to God for mercy and grace, aren't you glad that he come running to you and helped you? But after he helped you, he talked to you again. Amen. I'm already starting to feel good, and I hadn't even got the text read. Aren't you glad that he didn't dismiss you? Aren't you glad that he didn't push you to the side? Aren't you glad that he didn't say, no, you disobeyed me. You didn't listen to me. I don't have time for you anymore. No, but the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, thank God, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh. What God had for Jonah to do at the beginning is still what God has for Jonah to do now. In other words, God said, Jonah, I'm not done with you. I had a plan for you when I formed you in your mother's womb. Can I just say that I believe that with all of my heart. God had a plan for us when we was formed in our mother's womb. And he said, Jonah, you may have messed up. Jonah, you may have missed the mark. Jonah, you may have got yourself into a great big mess. But the plan that I had for you back then is still the plan that I have for you right now. So Jonah's now got a choice to make. Am I going to listen to God or am I going to run from God? Note what he does. The Bible said, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. He arose the last time, but he went the wrong way. This time he arose and went the right way. Oh, yes. And look what the Bible said. And Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey and heard. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. I want to preach on this thought for just a little while this morning. The God of second chances. The God of second chances. Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for being good to me. I thank you for mercy and grace. I pray, God, that you'd help us today. God, I want to publicly say thank you, God, for not throwing the clay away in my life, God. But thank you, Lord, for giving me another chance to serve you. I pray, God, that you'd speak to the hearts of the hearers today and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated, Miss Stephanie. If you want to start getting ready to go to Joshua 2, that's where I'm headed here in just a little while. I love this little book of Jonah, and I'm not going to spend a great deal of time in the introduction, but it's just 4 short chapters. It's one of the minor prophets of what we know of the Bible being a minor prophet, and God has something for Jonah to do. Can I say this to you today? God also has something for you to do. God has something for me to do. God has something for everyone in this building to do. What God has for me to do may be different than what God has for you to do, but each and every one of us, God has a plan for our life. If God did not have a purpose for our life, and if God did not have a plan for our life, I do not believe that we would be here today. I believe that we would be gone from this earth, but God has us here for a reason today. And if we're all honest within each other, I know we're sitting in church today. I know we may have our Sunday clothes on today. I know we may have walked in here and listened to a choir sing full of the Holy Ghost, listened to good special singing. But if we're all honest with each other, neither one of us sitting here today is perfect. We all miss the mark on a daily basis. We all fail God every day of our life. Oh, we may act like we don't, and we may be a Pharisee and act like we're better than everybody else, but the truth is you're just really fair, you see, and that's the reason they call you a Pharisee. None of us is perfect today. None of us can live up to the standard of the law. None of us can live up to the expectation that God set for us because he set us in a holy world and in a holy environment. But in Genesis chapter number 3, Adam and Eve messed every bit of that up, and sin entered into this world. And now because of sin, every one of us fail God on a daily basis. Over and over, we miss the mark. But aren't you thankful that when we miss the mark, that God is not done with us? I thought about this. God could have thumped Adam and Eve off of the earth that day and said, I'm not messing with humanity anymore. But God didn't do that. Why? Because God needed man to carry the gospel across the world. And God said, here's what I'll do. I'll give man a second chance. When we come to the life of Jonah, that's exactly what happens, man. Jonah messes up. God asked him to do something. God says, here's the will for your life. Here's my will for your life. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach. And Jonah decides, man, I'm going to do something completely opposite to what God has for me. And can I just say this to you in passing today? The devil will keep you busy doing a good thing to keep you from doing the best thing. Amen. And he sends, or Jonah decides in his own will to walk away. And Jonah finds himself in a great big mess, man. In a big mess. But aren't you glad that when we go to God with a humble heart and with a heart of repentance, that God is always there, that God is long-suffering, that God is gracious and God is mercy, and He gives us a second chance. Jonah, we see, gets a second chance, and because of that, Jonah goes into Nineveh and begins to preach, and according to the Bible, the whole place believed God. Whenever I studied on this, and matter of fact, I taught the book of Jonah in Bible college one time, and I preached through the book several times, but they estimate around 1 million or a little bit over 1 million people in Nineveh at this time. And according to the word of God, they all believe God. So Nineveh believed God. I believe every one of them that was there got saved and got right with God, if you want to look at it in that sense, in our day. Why? Because a rebellious man that walked away from God and went out of the presence of God come to a point in his life and he said, God, I'm tired of running from you. I'm tired of not being in your will. So God, I submit myself to you. And even though I may have messed up and even though I may have missed the mark, God, here I am, and if you'll forgive me, I'll do what I can do for you. And you know what God does in the life of Jonah? Man, God raises Jonah back up. God puts Jonah back on his feet. And God uses a rebellious prophet to bring the greatest revival that's recorded in human history. Right here it is. Why? Because somebody that messed up realized they did and ask God for forgiveness. Can I say something to you today? You'll never be used until you realize that there has been that time that we have messed up and we repent of it. Can I show you somebody else in the Bible that God gave a second chance to? Is that okay? Can we just use our Bibles this morning? Joshua chapter number 2. I don't have this marked. If you want to turn with me, if you can, you can. If not, Miss Stephanie will try her best to keep up with me and keep it on the screens. Joshua chapter number 2. Joshua chapter, boy, man, what a book. Joshua is dynamite. It's all dynamite, but man, I love Joshua. Look what the Bible said, Joshua chapter number 2, verse number 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men, to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, I'm not going to take the time to preach on what she was. The Bible's very plain about what Rahab was. Matter of fact, whenever you study her out in the Old Testament, she is known everywhere that you find her as Rahab the harlot, or the harlot Rahab. If her name is mentioned, it's just Rahab. If you look in just one verse or two verses prior to it, you'll see that it talks about the harlot Rahab. Can I just say it this way? She was a wicked woman. Everybody okay this morning? Everybody awake this morning? Everybody take your halos off, put your wings away this morning. Are you hearing me? She was a wicked woman. The harlot Rahab. Let's read on in the Bible. Go with me to chapter number 6. Chapter number 6. I'm going to read you a verse in chapter number 6. The Bible said this in verse number 17. You're waiting on me to tell you that, aren't you, Miss Stephanie? I'm sorry. You're supposed to be able to read my mind. Chapter 6, verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only, if you write in your Bible, I would invite you to circle that word. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. Again, I need 3 hours to preach from chapter 2 to chapter 6. Rahab hides the men of God that has been sent in there to overlook Jericho when they wanted to kill them. Rahab does a favor, and because of that, and again, I don't have time to preach all this, God ends up sparing her life. Look at this. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. Now look what the Bible said in verse number 24. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. Out of everybody in Jericho. Are you with me? Out of everybody in Jericho. I'm going to Matthew 1 next. Out of everybody in Jericho. You don't go there yet. I don't want you to read it yet. Everybody in Jericho. You know who God decides to save? He decides to save an old harlot that evidently had believed in him and had trusted him and had done what the man of God said do. Out of everybody there, God says, you know who I think that I'm going to work with? You know who I think I'm going to save? You know who I think I'm going to take care of? I think I'm going to take care of that old harlot that believed in me. Aren't you thankful that God is no respecter of person? Why did God do that? Here's the reason God done that. Matthew chapter number 1. Now you can go there. Are you with me? Matthew chapter number 1. You ever heard of a family tree? They say in West Virginia they don't fork. I'm sorry. Come back. I'm sorry. I got out of line. I don't know where that come from. I'm sorry. If you're from West Virginia, I love you. Matthew chapter number 1 is the family tree of Jesus. It's the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the line that God... some of y'all know where I'm headed. This is the line that God chose to bring His Son through. This is the line that Jesus Christ is going to be born into this world. He's going to save His people from their sin. Let's read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren, and Judas begot Phares and Nahor of Tamar, and Phares begot Ezrom, and Ezrom begot Aram, and thank God I'm Jonathan. You thought your name was bad. Look in verse 4. And Aram begot Abinadad, and Abinadad begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. Did anybody see that after it right there, it says nothing about the harlot? Everywhere else, I wish y'all would get on board with me preaching this morning. Everywhere else we read about her, she's known as Rahab the harlot. Why did God choose out of all the people in Jericho to save? Why did He choose to save a harlot out of Jericho? Here's the reason why. He had a baby boy that was going to be born one day, and he needed somebody to carry the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of all the people he could have chose, guess who we find on the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ? We find an old harlot that had been living in Jericho. Boy, aren't you thankful that God don't look at our past and God don't look at our mistakes. It don't matter where we've been. been or the life that we lived. Thank God when we get in the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're no longer known as our past, but we're known as Him. Amen. Here's what he said, and Samuel begot Boaz of Rahab. I can't stop there because you know who Boaz was. Boaz was that guy over there in Ruth chapter number 4 and chapter number 3 and chapter number 2 and chapter number 1. Ruth was a girl that was a Moabitish girl. Oh, yeah. The world didn't want nothing to do with them, and that near kinsman didn't want nothing to do with her in Ruth chapter number 3 and 4. But Boaz was that guy that looked on her and loved her and brought her into the family of God. And now here we find not only Rahab that was a harlot, but we find Ruth that was a Moabitish girl that was living in the wash pot, that was living in this world that could care less about the things of God. But she heard about God and she decided, I'll leave everything that I know and I'll go to Bethlehem, Judea. And there was a Boaz that loved her and brought her into his family. And now here she is in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what are you saying this morning? Here's what I'm saying. We serve a God of a second chance. If you're a good person and you're not, but you may think you are, and you've never missed a mark, they don't none of this help you. But I'm going to tell you something. There's not a day in my life that I don't miss the mark. There's not a day in my life that I don't sin, that I don't fail God. But I sure am glad we've got a God of restoration and a God of love today. Oh, yeah. So here's old Rahab, not the harlot anymore. Why? Because she's got a new life now. Let's look at somebody else. Can we look at somebody else? Let's just go to Matthew 26, Miss Stephanie. I could go to John 4. And I could tell you about a Samaritan lady that had been married 5 times. The man that she was with, Matthew chapter number 26, Miss Stephanie. The man that she was with in John chapter number 4 was not even her husband that she was with at the time. Jesus must need to go through Samaria. Those Jews and the Samaritans had nothing to do with each other. Whenever he walked up to the well that day, he saw a Samaritan woman sitting on the well that day, and he began to talk to her, and she wanted to know why he would even have anything to do with her because who he was and who she was. You know the story, she ends up getting saved that day at the well. She ends up leaving her water pot. She goes running back into the city in John chapter number 4 and says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know what ends up happening? You say, why did she go to the men? She'd been married 5 times and she was living with a different man at the time. That's who she knew best. And if she went to the women, they'd have probably destroyed her. They was not her friends. Somebody give me a witness right there. So she went to that crowd that she knew. 2 reasons I think that she went there. I think she went there out of fear of going to the women. But number 2, I think she went there because Christ knew that they would see the biggest difference in her life. She said, hey, boys, I may have done this and I may have done that in days gone by. You may have known me for being somebody else in days gone by. But just a little while ago, I was sitting over there at the well and I just went by to get a drink of water. But there was a man who showed up and his name was Jesus. She was just living her ordinary day. She was just going about her ordinary life. Oh, but Jesus showed up and turned her ordinary day into an extraordinary day. And she gets saved. She runs into the city. The boys come running back and hear Jesus, and many are saved because of her testimony. Well, you know what God could have done? He could have chose not to go by the well that day, Brother John. He could have chose to go a different direction that day, but Jesus knew that woman needed some help. He knew where she had been. He knew the life she had lived. Matter of fact, he tells her about it. Can I just say this? He knows where you've been. He knows the life that you've lived. But I've got real good news. He's decided to pass by today because he's not worried about where you've been and what you've done and the life that you may have lived. He said, I've got a new life that I'll give you. I've got joy that's unspeakable and full of glory that I can give you. If you'll just believe in me, I'll give you a second chance. Matthew chapter number 26, Jesus is fixing to be crucified. And they've taken him now, and pretty much everybody but just a few hath forsaken him. And there's one that tells him, his name's Peter. He says, Jesus, I'll go with you all the way to death. Jesus, whenever you study your Bible, you'll find out Jesus pretty much tells him, no, you don't need to do that, because Jesus knew. You see, sometimes people's just trying to look after you. Can I just say that again? Jesus knew what was fixing to happen. Jesus had prayed for him because he knew Satan wanted to sift him as wheat. You hearing the preacher this morning? Peter says, no, I'm going all the way. And Jesus looks at him and he says, you know what, Peter? Before the morning, before the old rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. Peter says, it'll never happen. I'll never do it. Well, two of them's already came. Let's pick up reading in verse number 73. Matthew 26, verse 73. And after a while came unto him, they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewareth thee. Then began he, watch this, to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Man, here's one of the disciples. Here's one of the inner three. Man, he's been with Jesus. He saw things that other disciples didn't see. Peter, James, and John got to see things that other disciples didn't get to see. He said, I'm going all the way with you. God, you can count on me. How many times have we said that? Come on, let's be honest. How many times have we said, Lord, if you'll help me through this, then I'll do this and I'll serve you. We ought to back up and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you whether you get me through this or not. We throw that if in there and we throw a stipulation on God. If you'll do this for me, then I'll do this for you. No, it should be, Lord, we'll serve you. That's a whole nother message within itself. Peter comes to this place now, and he's told the Lord he'd go with him, but boy, he's missed the mark. Jesus goes to Calvary, and Jesus dies on Calvary. Boy, can you imagine the thoughts in Peter's mind? I've missed the mark. I failed God. God will never use me again. God will never let me do anything for him again. I can't believe I've done this to God. I wonder how many sitting here today would say, preacher, I've been in the same place. Well, Jesus dies on Calvary, and Jesus is buried, and 3 days later, Jesus rises from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Can I get an amen right there? He sticks around 40 days, and 40 days after that, he reaches up into the heavens and pulls down a cloud and steps up on it and says, glory, please, and ascends back into the heavens. Of course, we know he don't leave us comfortless. He sends a comforter unto us, no doubt. During these days, Peter is very remorseful for his actions. And no doubt, Peter is repented of his actions. And you say, do you know that? Absolutely, I know that because of what's fixing to happen in Peter's life. From the night that Peter denied the Lord and cursed and swore and said he didn't even know who Jesus was, Can I fast forward 50 days in Peter's life and show you something? Have you got your Bible? Go to Acts chapter number 2. Now, I'm about done. Acts chapter number 2. Oh, my goodness, yes, I'm about done. I might not be about done, but I'm going to try to be about done because of time. Acts chapter number 2 is known as the Day of Pentecost. It's what it's known as. There's fixing to be some preaching going on and fixing to be thousands of people getting saved. Here's what the Bible said in Acts chapter number 2, verse 38, Miss Stephanie. Again, I was thinking you could read my mind. I'm sorry. Listen to what the Bible said, Acts chapter number 2, verse 38. This 50 days, from everything that I can study, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, around 50 days since Peter's denied Christ. The Bible said in verse 38, then Peter, the one that denied Christ, the one that cursed and swore that he didn't even know who he was, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 14, he speaks, says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you, and hearken unto my words. And Peter begins to preach on the day of Pentecost. Verse number 39, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word was baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a service. Can I just say that again? What a service. 3,000, Miss Shannon, get saved. You know who God used to preach that day? A guy that 50 days ago. Y'all are not getting it. Miss Daniel, you come play something. A guy that 50 days ago, Brother Lloyd said that he didn't even know who Jesus was. Cursed and denied him. Said, I don't know who that is. But 50 days later, after he got his heart right with God, God didn't say, Peter, I'll never use you again. God didn't say, Peter, I'm going to put you up on the shelf. I'm never going to let you do nothing for me again. God didn't say, Peter, I'm done with you. Over, man, study Peter's life. Over and over and over, he messed up. You know what God said? I believe in all my heart, God chose who's going to preach on the day of Pentecost. You know what God said? God said, I think I'll show the world today that no matter where you've been and the life that you've lived, if you'll repent and come back to me, I've got a plan for your... I'm about to shout. I'm trying to be real dignified because we got visitors. But I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'm going to show the world that no matter where you've been, no matter how many times you failed me, no matter how many times you've missed a mark, no matter the life that you may have lived, I can put a harlot in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can take an old cussing drunk man that denied even knowing Jesus Christ. I can stand him up on the day of Pentecost. I can fill him with the Holy Ghost. He can preach, and through the power of his preaching and the Word of God, I can save 3,000 people. You said, preacher, what are you saying today? Here's what I'm saying. If God used Jonah after he run from him, and if God used Rahab the harlot, and if God used Ruth the Moabitess, and if God used the little Samaritan woman that had been married five times and was living with a man. And if God used a cussing man that said he didn't even know God, then don't you think the God of heaven can look down at your life? He knows where you're at. He knows what you've done. He knows how many times you failed him. Don't you think that he can look down on you and say, if you'll just come to me, if you'll just trust me, I've got a plan for your life. I've got a ministry for your life. I can use you if you'll let me. I sure am glad that we serve a God of a second chance this morning.